News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the fascinating northeastern part of India, each episode brings new insights and captivating stories. Here's a sneak peek at what we have in store for you today. Today we have an insightful interview with Dr. Rajib Gogai, the head of the Sikkim Himalayan Regional Center for the Botanical Survey of India, in which he talks about the state's rich botanical diversity, highlighting its unique flora. We'll also take you through the celebrations of Arunachal Pradesh's State Day and dwell into the recently concluded Bharat Rang Mahautsav Theatre Festival in Agartala. But first, let's hear from our Kohima correspondent, Mary, as she brings us a special report on the second White Owl Literature Festival. In Nagaland, the second edition of the White Owl Literature Festival and Book Fair was held from February 17th to February 19th in the town of Chamakadiba. Over three exciting days, this event has brought together some of the brightest literary minds from India to inspire and engage in thought-provoking conversations.
As the second edition of the White Owl Literature Festival took off in Chamakadiba, Nagaland's Chief Minister Nipur Rio addressed the inaugural event celebrating literature as a powerful force in shaping societies and inspiring change.
This festival is more than just a gathering of literary minds. It is a celebration of stories, ideas, and a rich tapestry of cultures that defines our great nation. The authors present here, you are not just writers. You are the ambassadors of your heritage, custodians of the narratives that have been passed down through generations. I am especially heartened by the inclusivity and diversity that this festival embraces. From the vibrant hills of Northeast and the heartland of India, from the eastern shores to the western deserts, the festival brings together voices from every corner of our country. Nagaland, known as the land of festival, is proud to host a festival that celebrates not just our culture, but also literature. Let us remember that literature has the power to shape societies, bridge divides, and bring about change. It is our responsibility to honor this power,
to use it wisely, and to continue inspiring generations to come.
Festival Director Viketuno Rio shared the event's vision, inspire, imagine, inscribe, and highlighted several key initiatives in line with the festival's goal of broadening perspectives and motivating future generations.
This festival is more than an event. The festival has taken further steps towards meaningful impact. We are delighted to launch the Zero Waste Initiative, ensuring sustainability remains at the core of our efforts. Additionally, we hosted a charity 5-kilometer run where over 200 participants came together to support children with disabilities. Furthering our commitment to inclusivity, we are organizing a charity concert to raise awareness and encourage a more accepting society for families and children with disabilities. These initiatives embody our belief that literature and storytelling must extend beyond the written word to create meaningful change in our communities.
The festival featured insightful discussions on topics ranging from reimagining identity and preserving indigeneity to the future of work and its relationship with technology and culture, and navigating governance and challenges in the Northeast. One notable session was focused on the 1983 cricket legacy, with speakers Syed Kirmani and Aditya Iyer sharing their perspectives on India's passion for the sport. With an impressive lineup of over 70 authors and speakers from across India and thousands of participants, the event has become a key platform for intellectual exchange. This year's festival, hailed as the largest literary event in the Northeast, is not just about books. From interactive readings and inspiring panels to debut authors sharing their journeys, the festival is a vivid reminder that each word written holds the power to shape our world and inspire positive change through literature. For Northeast Diary, Mary, Akashwani News, Kohima.
Now, let's dive into the theatre festival of Agartala, where audiences were treated as a theatrical extravaganza. Artists from the National School of Drama, Delhi, showcased their stellar performances at the Bharat Rang Mahautsav, held at Nazrul Kala Kshetra. Our Agartala correspondent Kunal Shinde has the full story.
In the words of Ibrahim Al-Ghazi, the doyen of Indian theatre and the first director of National School of Drama, acting in theatre is like performing a sacred ritual. Each emotion is a prayer and each moment a celebration of life. People of Agartala were witness to this with some fabulous performances by the artists from the National School of Drama in the Bharat Rang Mahotsav. The theatre enthusiasts had the opportunity to watch five selected plays that were in for a grab in the theatrical fest. Some of the plays were Titar Bitar, Tichi Tita Toto Turu, Tanila Tanyo and Super Sanskar. Wo Kagaz Ki Kashti, Wo Barish Ka Pani was among one of the plays that was also presented by the artists from the NSD. The play is directed by Sundar Lal Chhabra. Wo Kagaz Ki Kashti, Wo Barish Ka Pani play is a theatrical adaptation of two stories by Munshi Premchand's Chori and Bade Bhai Saab. Both stories revolve around childhood and its memories set against the backdrop of 19th century India. These stories highlight children's issues, joys and concerns related to education, making them interesting for both children and adults. The story Chori beautifully portrays the emotional simplicity of a child's mind. Unlike adults who often harbor bitterness and daily worries, this story emphasizes the importance of maintaining childlike innocence to make life easier. On the other hand, Bade Bhai Saab humorously depicts the sweet and sour relationship between two brothers, satirizing the rote learning education system. At the same time, it highlights a balance between education and life experiences. Here are some of the glimpses from the play Wo Kagaz Ki Kashti, Wo Barish Ka Pani. Kunal Shinde for Northeast Diary from Akashwani Agartala.
Now it's time for an exclusive interview with Dr. Rajib Gogai, head of the Sikkim Himalayan Regional Center of the Botanical Survey of India. In conversation with our presenter Manas Pratim Sarma, Dr. Gogai shares insights on the importance of plant conservation and the invaluable work of the Botanical Survey of India in preserving our natural heritage.
Good evening to the all listeners of Northeast Dairy. This episode we are joined by Dr. Rajiv Gogoi, who hails from Moran in Dibrugarh district in Assam. Now he is heading the Sikkim Himalayan Regional Center of Botanical Survey of India, Nihar at Gangtok. Welcome, Dr. Gogoi.
Yeah, thank you.
Would you please tell us initially what is the mandate of Botanical Survey of India?
Botanical Survey of India, we have two mandates mainly. The one is primary, another is secondary. So in the primary mandate, we are the only department under Ministry of Environment, Forest, Climate Change, Government of India, to document the wild plants of the country. Whatever the plants are available in this country, we are the organization who collect them, bring them to the herbarium, then identify them and keep all the preserved specimens in our herbarium, that the other scientific institute can utilize the data and all the other informations from those plants. That is our primary. And along with that, in the same primary, whatever the data we document, we use to bring them in publications like the National Flora, which is called the Flora of India. That is, we already have completed, and it is in 32 volumes our department has brought out for the nation. Then at the same time, along with the National Flora, we publish state floras. Like that, we have already published many state floras in the country, and many state floras, the work is in progress, because in one state flora, it comes in many volumes, like that 2 volumes, 3 volumes. We have already completed a flora of West Bengal, like that other states. We are going to publish this is in the final form, that flora of Gujarat. Mm-hmm. Like that many states, our works are going on, many volumes already been published. And apart from that, we have to focus the district floras and the protected areas, because district floras are also very important for the stakeholders in those particular areas. At the same time, the protected areas. Protected areas means in India, there's not many national parks and wildlife sanctuaries. So the floristic data is very important for conservation effort made by the state governments through forest departments and other central departments. And at the same time, a lot other medicinal plants kind of thing and other plants used to be there in different areas. Those documents also used to prepare. So it comes under primary. And in the secondary, while doing the primary work, what are the plants is we found that they are going to be threatened, or they maybe if we will not take scientific measures, they may be lost in the nature. So we have to bring them to our gardens, because in our 17 all regional offices, at least everywhere one garden is attached to it, and there our conservation we used to take up. Like this in Sikkim, we have 2 orchidarium, a part of this conservation for the orchids. Here we have about 300 species of orchids conserved, like that in Shillong, like that in Dehradun, like that in Coimbatore, in Yarkard, like that we used to conserve, and those are the part of the national conservation effort for the orchids. At the same time, we used to conserve other plants, and while doing the survey, we prioritize and we make the data like that which plants need to be conserved in a priority basis, because all the plants need not to be conserved, because many plants are very common. But when due to some issues, the plants used to get depleted in the nature, then those prioritization is been made by Botanical Survey of India, and that data can be utilized by the other agencies for prioritizing the conservation effort.
Right. And you have joined this institute in the year 2019.
Yes, sir.
Would you please tell us what are the major achievements that has been made by this department under your guidance?
Botanical Survey of India, which has been started here in 1979, so in last 40 years, we were accumulating a lot of plant specimen in our herbarium. At the same time, we were documenting and data collecting about the plants of this region. And in 19, we have initiated to bring out the pictorial flora of Sikkim, because this was very important for this region, because Sikkim's economy is primarily depend on tourism, and is a nature tourism or is ecotourism. So when it is ecotourism and nature tourism, you need to know what are the plants, what are the animals, what kind of this natural treasures are there in that region. So this book we have taken up in a very war footing way, and we have documented about 5,000 plus plants. And after the documentation of the whole flora, We collaborated with the Department of Forest, Government of Sikkim, and they have funded for the publications, and we have brought out a very illustrated book, The Flora of Sikkim and Pictorial Guide, which after the analysis we found that although Sikkim's geography is only 1% or less than 1%, but Sikkim holds about 27% of the floristic wealth of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, and that book was the first book in the country depicting the illustrated flora of a state. And seeing that work, again, from Manipur, DBT, Department of Biotechnology, from this IBSD, they also decided to bring out a pictorial flora, and some work has come to Botanical Survey of India. I also was a part of that. And we again brought out another pictorial state flora for Manipur. So apart from these works, we have brought out the rhododendrons of Sikkim and Darjeeling Himalaya, because rhododendron is a very unique asset of Sikkim. Then we have brought out that wild balsams of Darjeeling and Sikkim Himalaya. Then we have brought out, in collaboration with Department of Forest, Government of Sikkim and Sikkim University, the wild medicinal plants of Sikkim. Because these wild medicinal plants again is having very important impact in the society, because a lot of medicinal plants are people use day to day life, and even there has some economic benefit through these areas. So these are the areas that we need to be focused. And along with this, we have brought out some another very important documents which are very useful for nature conservation or conserving the fragile ecosystems, like that we have brought out some of the documents like that flora of the Tembao wetland. Then we have brought out some EIA studies as given by the National Highway Authorities in the recommendations from the Forest Department, because those documents were very important to bring out or to go for the construction of the high altitude roads, which will be even in future will be used by our defense forces. So like that, these lot many activities we have brought out. And very recently, we have brought out a document called The Southern Silk Route, Sikkim and Kalimpong. This is a very unique kind of a experiment that we have done with my team here from Botanical Survey of India, Sikkim Gangtok. Because while working for the flora in the East Sikkim area and the surroundings, so we found those areas are very important from an ancient trade route. So we thought, why only the plants or the biodiversity? We should be considering other areas also, like that, the history of the trade, little history of whole area like Sikkim and Kalimpong. Then again, the ethnicity, the people who dwell those places, what is their culture, what is their ethnic identity or ethnic culinary, all those things we have brought out. And that we have brought out in a very holistic manner. And that book, we have put there about 100 pages of the history of this land along with the biodiversity. Then that what are the issues related to the sustainable tourism and sustainable nature conservation. All these things we have brought out. That these can be utilized by the other stakeholders in their own areas of work.
Right. We also want to know your personal journey. You did your master degree in Guwahati University.
Yes.
So from Guwahati University, you have a long career in this field. So would you please tell us your journey so far?
I joined this department in Shillong, and therefrom I went to Arunachal Pradesh. When I was in Shillong, then we have worked out the flora of Juku Valley, which is a very unique, pristine area in the borders of Manipur and Nagaland. When I came to Arunachal Pradesh, I have been given by the department to work with the balsams, which is a genus called impatiens in the family Balsaminaceae. They are very important economically, because those plants having very beautiful flower, which can be utilized with the scientific interventions to develop some horticulturally important plants. And at the same time, those plants are very important from environment point of view also, because they are so sensitive environmentally. If something is adversely impacting the environment, then those plants will be leaving those areas and they will be going to more very pristine and virgin areas. So that's why these kind of plant groups need to be documented, and we should try to understand their ecological behavior and all those things. So when I was there, we started documenting the taxonomy. Particularly, we was not knowing about those plants not very much. So my team, myself and Saurabh Jyoti Bora, we took up the whole study, and we have in about 4 to 5 years discovered, which was not known to science, about 20 species of plants. And those has been published globally in some very reputed important journals. And recently also, when I joined Sikkim, then also we have taken up the same study here also. Here also we have discovered another two species, along with my student Norbu Sherpa and my collaborators like Dr. Samuel Len, and we have brought out one book here and one book from Arunachal and the Eastern Himalayan region. So very recently in Switzerland, one journal called Horticulture, they have published a world review in the last 50 years who are the people have contributed immensely on this subject of Balsaminaceae. And these authors were mainly from the Chinese scientists only has made this world review. And in that world review, myself has been identified among the top 10 scientists who have contributed in this science.
Excellent.
And I was placed fourth position within the 10 scientists to globally contribution in last 50 years for this study. So being a, I am a person from Assam, so our Honorable Chief Minister sir has little written in that it was a very encouraging moment for us, for whole of my team and all the people.
Right.
And I'm very happy because in that review, in that study, they have highlighted my department, Botanical Survey of India, among top five institutions in the world who has contributed immensely for study of this subject. So this is a matter of pride as an Indian that we are also trying to do some contribution for better understanding of the science of this subject.
Right. And sir, finally, as you already mentioned, this state is known for its ecotourism.
Yes.
People from across the globe visit here to see this flora and fauna, its natural beauty. So what role is being played by your organization along with other stakeholders to preserve it?
Botanical Survey of India, as I have told already, our two things, that documentation and conservation. So first, if you have something, it is in terms of nature or natural resources, you need to know what are the things that you have. So when you will know that I have this, then your adequate way of planning is very important for utilization of those things. So if the things will be not sustainably been utilized, then one day that will be depleted and that will be lost from that. And that resource from which you are supposed to get more benefit, maybe you will be not getting that more benefit. So that's why research is very important for natural, these type of things, flora and fauna. And Botanical Survey of India, as we are focusing on these floristic aspects, and our data are being utilized by all the other agencies, associated agencies, as stakeholders who deals with this. And that's why to promote sustainable tourism, these data are very important because tourists may go all the places. Or some of the plants in high Himalayas or in the fragile areas which are there, may people think that these plants are available everywhere. But because of our study, you will know that some, many of the plants are very limited to specific areas. And if we will be not documenting and bringing out all these documents, then this knowledge will be not available for the public. And due to that, there is maximum chances of depletion and extinction and this type of adverse negative impacts. So that's why these studies are very important, and BSI's documents are helping all the agencies like the Department of Forest, Tourism, other institutes who are working, documentation of medicinal plants, conservation of medicinal plants, and even conservation of high altitude lakes. And even while we are working for the mega projects like the roads, bridges, then dams and all these things, because if somewhere in a construction site of a dam, some rare plants are there, our documents will be helping the agencies to rehabilitate them, and appropriate way that conservation effort will be taking place.
You just heard an interview with Dr. Rajib Gogai, head of the Sikkim Himalayan Regional Center of the Botanical Survey of India. He was in conversation with our presenter, Manas Pratim Sarma. February 20th marks Statehood Day in the history of Arunachal Pradesh and Mizoram. Arunachal Pradesh, also known as the Land of the Rising Sun, shares borders with Bhutan, China, and Myanmar, and boasts the unique geographical significance. From being a part of the Northeastern Frontier Agency, NEFA, to becoming a Union Territory in 1972, Arunachal Pradesh achieved statehood on February 20th, 1987, marking a significant chapter in its journey. Here's a special report from our Itanagar correspondent, Rakesh Dule, on the celebration of Arunachal Pradesh's Statehood Day.
With more than 100 tribes and sub-tribes having their own distinct identity, Arunachal Pradesh is one of the most diverse states in India. These stripes are like flowers of different colors, embroidered on the beautiful fabrics of natural landscapes with mountains and valleys. This beautiful state became a full-fledged state on February 20, 1987. Till 1972, it was known as the Northeast Frontier Agency, NEFA. It gained the Union Territory status on January 20, 1972 and was renamed as Arunachal Pradesh. Administratively, the state is divided into 27 districts. The statehood day, as usual, was celebrated with grand fanfare across the state today. Arun Kiran Shish Bhushan Kanti Nilhara Prabha Kiran Chumbit Desh Arunachal Hamara Arunachal Hamara. The main function was held at IG Park in the capital city, Itanagar. Governor Lieutenant General retired Kathy Patnaik participated in the function as chief guest. Chief Minister Pema Khandu and his Council of Ministers and Union Minister Kiran Rijiju, along with others, also attended the celebration. Addressing public on the occasion, the Governor said that Arunachal Pradesh is blessed with abundance of nature, a green state which never indulged in any insurgencies unlike the other northeastern states. He said it is a state where all people speak one common language, and where nationalistic feelings abound with resounding greetings of Jai Hind in the spirit of unity and pride. He said that Arunachal Pradesh occupies a strategically important place due to sensitive and disturbed borders with Tibet, China and Myanmar. He said the people of the state have stood firm with the armed forces and central armed police forces to help them protect the long arduous borders. The governor said that the transitions from Northeast Frontier Agency NEFA to Union Territory to a full-fledged state has empowered Arunachal Pradesh with greater political autonomy, allowing it to chart its own path of progress and prosperity. Chief Minister Pema Khandu on the occasion said that Arunachal Pradesh is a resourceful state and has the potential to grow in every sector. He said the government is framing various policies and is implementing those on the ground. He said today the state has achieved a lot in the field of tourism when compared to the past.
हमारा अरुणाचल प्रदेश जियोग्राफिकली इतना जरूर है, मैं हम सब मानते हैं, मगर उस कठिनाई में भी हमारा स्ट्रेंथ है, उस कठिनाई में भी हमारा पोटेंशियल्स है. अरुणाचल प्रदेश बहुत ही रिसोर्सफुल एक राज्य है, टूरिज्म के क्षेत्र में हो, एग्रीकल्चर एंड एलाइड के क्षेत्र में हो, माइनिंग एक्टिविटीज में हो, या चाहे हाइड्रो पावर के डिस्ट्री में हो, इतना अच्छा पोटेंशियल्स है. टूरिज्म में देखिए, अभी आज अरुणाचल प्रदेश कहां से कहां हम लोग निकल चुका है. पहले एक वक्त हुआ करता था टूरिज्म में केवल सिर्फ तवांग ही पॉपुलर हुआ करता था, आज देखिए तवांग के अलावा हमारा जीरो कितना उभर गया है, हमारा पूरा सियांग बेल्ट पासीघाट से लेके कितना आगे चल रहा है, मेचुका कितना आगे बढ़ रहा, अनिनी जैसे डिस्ट्रिक्ट जिनको अवार्ड मिला है कि बेस्ट ऑफ दी डेस्टिनेशन, कितना अनिनी में टूरिस्ट अट्रैक्शन हो रहा है.
Speaking on the hydropower potential of the state, Mr. Khandu said that in coming next 10 years, Arunachal Pradesh will generate 10,000 crore rupees as revenue every year from the hydropower sector. He further informed that the central government has accepted the state government's proposal for 26% equity share from all the upcoming hydro projects in the states. The main highlight of the celebration today were the cultural and folk dance performed by various tribes of the state. For Northeast Diary, this is Rakesh Tole, Akashvani News, Itanagar.
And with that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Join us again next week for more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye. Arun Kiran Shish Bhushan Kanthi Nilhi Dhara Prabhat Suraj Chumbit Desh Arunachal Hamara.
This program was presented by Lucy G. Chattopadhyay, produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashvani.